Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Since we're rapidly approaching the 17th anniversary of 9/11, I thought I'd review some of the evidence and people that have influenced the 9/11 Truth community. Today you'll hear part of a speech given by Willie Rodriguez, a janitor who worked at the World Trade Center and was there on 9/11, tell about his experience and why he questions the official story of 9/11, which, by the way, is a conspiracy theory. He was in the first sub-basement of the World Trade Center Twin Towers on 9/11 and heard and felt explosions going off in the basement before a plane hit the buildings. He told his story to many around the world and even to the 9/11 Commission, but they never included his testimony in the 9/11 Commission report, which, if you've been paying attention, you know is a fraud and cover-up from start to finish. Many of the 9/11 commissioners themselves have said that they were set up to fail, were obstructed, and that we don't know the truth about 9/11. And author Philip Shannon, in his book The Commission, also pointed out that Philip Zelikow, the executive director of the 9/11 Commission, had the outlines for all the chapters written up before the commissioners had even met. The 9/11 Commission report doesn't even mention World Trade Center Building 7, the third building to collapse on 9/11 and that wasn't hit by a plane. So here's Willie Rodriguez to tell you his story. The audio clip you're about to hear was taken from a speech given in 2006 at a health and freedom conference put on by the Freedom Law School. It's been lightly edited. So here he is, Willie Rodriguez.
Welcome. My name is William Rodriguez. I am the last survivor of the North Tower. I work at the World Trade Center for 20 years. I was just the janitor in charge of all the stairwells in the building. My duties was to clean the stairwells. And on 9/11, of course, my life totally changed. I was recognized at the White House for those efforts. Now, but I want to talk a little bit about the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission is a book of 576 pages and 576 pages of lies, because the 9/11 Commission exists because I went with three other people to Congress to ask that we wanted a formal investigation of the events of 9/11. And you may remember that the president said, we don't need an investigation, we know who did it. That was the wrong thing to say to the families. We had the right, and we wanted to know. So we pressed for an investigation. They didn't want it. So we used a technique that they have used against a lot of the people with the excuse of the war. We put widows. We put wives. We put fathers that love their loved ones on every television show and every news network to ask for an investigation. And they couldn't handle the emotional toll that that will create on the American public. So we got the investigation. I testify behind closed doors. They didn't want me to do the testimony in an open hearing. Everything else, everybody else, open hearings. You saw the hearings. Mine was behind closed doors. I agree because I did not know what was the process. And I thought up to that point that they were going to do the right thing. We created the family steering committee, and we gave the commission 168 questions to answer. We only have 22 of those questions answered. We wanted to have a family member to be part of the commission, and they say, we don't want to allow that because they will have access to national security papers and a lot of flim-flam and balonies. We never got it. So we have to press for questions to be answered. We never got those answers. Up to that point, we thought that they were going to do the right thing. The final report shows up. What a surprise. My whole testimony was omitted. It doesn't appear. 27 people that I gave them, to interrogate, they didn't call, not even one of them. Now the families are angry. They finish their report, and that's when the whole fight starts. Recognized at the White House, I was being trained for politics because they wanted to use the image. I'm in the news in New York almost every week as a leader of the families. So they saw an opportunity to have a political ally and to use the pointing the finger to the IRS. And then I went over to Hillary Clinton and say, Mrs. Clinton, I'm going to make a protest in front of the federal building in Lower Manhattan. I will put 5,000 people. And she said, don't do that. Don't. So, well, what do you propose? I said, well, what about an amnesty? He said, I like the idea. So we work on something called the Tax Relief Act for victims of terrorism, which actually erases or eliminate the taxes for 2 years for any victim of terrorism. Doesn't mean only World Trade Center victims, but anything that happens after 9/11. So any victim right now will have that a pardon. And again, I didn't know the whole thing about the IRS. But anyway, we got an amnesty, which is good. And became the media expert for the newspapers, Telemundo in New York, I'm the expert for them, CNN en Español. And something very interesting happened. As I was pulled from the rubble, I told my story that I will tell you now, exactly the same. The international press presented without any editing. The local press, or the national press over here, did edit it. Now, that's when I work on the legislation for getting the orphans scholarship programs, and again, it was approved in record time. And this is when I asked Elliot Spitzer to do an investigation of the 9/11 Commission omissions, and you probably heard about that. Now, let's go on to this. Let me tell you what happened. On 9/11, I wake up late. I was supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. A miracle by itself. Because every morning I will go and have breakfast at Windows of the World, which was a restaurant that was located on the last floor of the North Tower. So all those people that died over there were my friends. I came in at 8:30 in the morning, and I told my supervisor, I'm on the way. He said, make it, because we don't have anybody there. Nobody else wants to do your routine. You know what it is to do 110 floors of stairs? Nobody wanted to do it. They will do it, and they will be trembling for 2 days. Their knees, yeah. So I made it, and the office was located on the B1 level. We have 6 sub-levels at the World Trade Center, B1, B2, all the way down to B6. Our support office was on B1. Now, Building 1, North Tower, and the South Tower connected through the basement. As I'm talking to the supervisors, F-46, we hear, boom! Huge explosion. It was so hard that pushed us upwards from the floor. We went up. All the walls cracked. The false ceiling completely fell down. The sprinkler system got activated. And they were screaming all over it. And at that moment, I thought that it was a generator that blew up on the B2 level, because we had the mechanical room with all the pumps, all the electrical power for the building was located in there. So it made not only sense, but remember, I was in the building for 20 years. I could tell the difference of something coming from the bottom and something coming from the top. So when I went to verbalize that something blew up, probably in the mechanical room, we hear, pa, all the way on the top. The impact of the plane. Two different events. There was an explosion in the basement prior to the tower being hit by a plane. Now, don't take my word for it. Anything that I'm going to tell you right now is out there. Because we said it on 9/11. Not only me, the firemen, first responders, and victims that came out of the building. Now, we hear that impact on the top, And everybody started screaming, the 14 people in general in the office. And all of a sudden, we hear a person coming like this with the hands extended saying, "Explosion, explosion." And when I looked at him, he has all the skin pulled from under his armpits all the way to the top of the fingertips. And it was hanging like it was a piece of glove. When you take off a glove and let it hang, exactly like that. I thought it was clothing. When I realized it was his skin. When I finally look at his face, he got missing parts on his face. I said, "What happened?" He was in shock. He said, "The elevators." I said, I don't understand. So I went to pick up, don't move. I went to pick up the phone to call the EMS unit that was located on the South Tower. And when I go to pick up the phone, another explosion on the top. And the walls cracked more. And everything started to shake. So I said, "We got to get out. We got to get out." I took the guy. It was a black guy named Felipe David. That's Felipe. And I let everybody out. We went out through the loading dock. We get outside. There's an ambulance coming over. We stopped the ambulance. I put Mr. Felipe David, a guy from Bolivia, who was on the B2 level. He was in charge of filling up the machines with water in the building, the vending machines, and with sodas. And as he was in his room, in his closet, he said there was fire. And he put his hands to cover his face because of the huge explosion. And that's how he made it. He tried to make it through the elevator, and he couldn't make it. So he went up the stairwells, one flight up, and that's how he went to my office. So I took him out, put him in the ambulance. He goes into a coma in the ambulance. There's one I hear for the first time. A plane hit the building. A security guard was standing right next to me with a radio. And that's when I look up for the first time, and I see the hole, the debris coming down, the fire. But from the angle of vision that I had, because I was right at the corner of the base of the building, you couldn't see the antenna. So I went crazy. I said, "We got to go up," because I thought right away of the people from Windows of the World. He said, "We got to go up. We got to go up." And those 14 people that I took out, they started, "No, you stay here." My supervisor, a guy three times my size, weightlifter, he was like, "Rodriguez, you're not going in there. You stay here." He said, "No, we're going in." "No, you stay here." So I took the radio from the security guard, who I knew, and I ran inside the building through the loading dock, down the hill, went inside, and there was water all over. Now, water all over on the basement. How come there wasn't water on the top floors? Again, an explosion on the basement. Now, I get to the South Tower, because after the 1993 bombing, they created something called the OCC, of the Operation Control Center, on the South Tower. They spent $153 million to retrofit the building. And so I wanted to tell them that I had a person that was wounded outside the building. So when I get there, there's nobody in the office. I'm hitting the bulletproof window. Nobody answers. I found a guy called Jimmy Barrett that worked for the maintenance company, who was on the lower basement from the South Tower, who did not know what was going on. He was like, "What's happening?" And I told him what I heard and what I heard on the radio. And he couldn't believe it. So that gives you an idea of how many people probably died on the sub-levels without knowing ever what was going on. Now, I told him, "You got to get out." There was a lady at the entrance to the Marriott Hotel on the basement that heard the whole thing, but did not dare to leave her post because she was a new worker and she was afraid that she was going to be fired. I said, "You got to get out now." I said, no, I'm new. "Get out now. There's nobody here." As I left the South Tower, I ran again towards the North Tower. When I get to the North Tower, you know how the freight elevators are? That it has, it's not a regular roof, it's just a mesh. That's exactly because all the water was going very easily in. So I said, "God, please help me." I was not a spiritual person. I was not. And at that moment, I found in an area that was supposed to be clean of any construction debris, a huge metal pipe. I took that pipe, put it against the door, forced the door open, and when it opened up, the door is open this way, because it's a freight elevator. when the door is open, the bottom door, when it gets to the bottom, makes all the water on my side to rush in. It's empty by itself because the elevator is down. When I peek down, I see way below these two people standing on a wood log with water up to here. And I said, oh my God, what is this? I'm still not comprehending what's going on. And I said, God, help me. Again, because they're screaming, help, 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 and looking up. You see these eyes practically coming out of their faces. And I didn't know how to get down there. So when I said, God, please help me, I remember right away that in the area where they have the trash compactors, the electricians always had ladders. But they always tied them up with chains so people would not steal them. Because it was easy to come inside the loading dock with the truck, put a ladder inside, and take it. So they always tied them up with chain. So I said, let me find one. Please, let me find one. And I ran there. And the incredible thing is that the only one that was not chained was the longest one of all the ladders. An 18 feet long ladder, which I took, aluminum ladder, I took it, dropped it inside the elevator shaft, went inside, opened the grid, got them both out, took them outside the building, put them in an ambulance, and went back inside the building, again through the loading dock running, because my concern again was how to help the people of Windows of the World. And I'm like, my friends, my God, my friends, and I'm screaming, we gotta go back in. Nobody wanted to go in. So I said, I'm going again. So I went in, and I found police officer David Lim from the Port Authority Police. He was in charge of the K-9 unit. He meets me there. He said, Willie, and stays quiet. I said, what's going on? He said, I don't know. He said, do you have the key? I said, yes. He meant, did I have the key, the master key? There were only 5 master keys in the building. The people with the other 4 were trained on egress, escape, rescue efforts, and they were the first one to run out. Yeah. I was just a janitor. And the reason that I had that key was because I sued the Port Authority in 1997 because I fell down the stairwells and they couldn't find me for like 3 hours. And I won the arbitration and they had to give me the key. And that key opened the whole complex. So, of course, the Port Authority Police knew, because it was a high security level key, that I had it. So I said, let's go. We get to the lobby. Now, all the firemen are there waiting with something called the fire access key, which is a key that they put in any elevator. And if the elevator is up, we'll go down. If it's down, we'll go up to pick them up. So they're there waiting for the elevator. I said, forget about the elevator. There's no elevator. Follow me. I know the best way. And I have the key to the stairwells. Follow me. So this whole unit, ladder 6, follows me as we start going up the stairwells. Now, it was so difficult because these poor people, talking about the firemen, they have so much equipment in their back. We're talking about 70 to 150 pounds of equipment between machines to open doors, machine to break things, you know. It was so hard to go up because people were coming down and kept bumping into us. The stairwells were, we only had 3 stairwells, A, B, and C. B was the longest one of them. And as we make it over there to the 3rd floor, we have to stop and regroup because it was so difficult. So I said, let's go by the A staircase, which was the one that faced the area that the building was hit by the plane. So we start going up, and now we start the odyssey. We have to go and open every single door. Now, I'm going to tell you why. The World Trade Center was a Class A building. For anybody in construction here, will understand that Class A building means that 3 doors won't open. One will open. 3 won't open, one will open all the way to the top. The reason they do that is because it's a skyscraper over, I think, 27 floors high. They have to have that safety to encapsulate a fire, because otherwise the fire will consume a building going up, the fire. So they do that. They will sacrifice maybe a floor or two, but everybody else will be safe. So that's why opening those doors was crucial. I want to show you these are the stairwells. It's not big. Look at that. No re-entry. Next re-entry, 43 and 39 floor. Huh. The problem was that the World Trade Center was such a tall building, a city within a city, that a lot of people, the turnaround was constant. People getting fired, people getting hired, people retiring, was a constant. So, a lot of people didn't even know where the exits were. They made drills only two times a year. They should have had mandatory drills so people will know every time that they will go to work for the first time where to escape. They didn't have that. That's one of the recommendations that we made to the National Institute on Safety and Technology. Now, we start going up, and it was so hard because these poor people couldn't continue at the same pace as I was going. I had no equipment in my back. I have no fireproof clothing that made it difficult. I had just my uniform, and I did the stairwells every single day. So physically, at that time, I was very skinny. Very, very skinny. I was sometimes two or three floors above the fire department, opening doors, going in the offices, screaming for people to follow my voice, letting people out. As I went up, we heard explosions on the third zone. The third zone is from 44 to 1. You have 110 to 78, 78 to 44, 44 to 1. The building was divided that way. When I asked, what are those explosions? And he said, oh, maybe the gas tanks in the kitchens. It was a Class A building. Only electrical kitchens are allowed. Right? The smell was horrible. Was putrid. Was, imagine ammonia and sulfur getting stuck in your throat. That's exactly how it smelled over there. And shocking moment was that a person comes down and said, we have a person on a wheelchair on the 27th floor that cannot breathe. I go down two flights below and I tell the fire department, they told me that they have a person on a wheelchair. What can we do? He said, don't worry, we'll make it there. And he explained, we always leave the handicaps for the last. So they didn't have power. They just took their jackets, their equipment, they dropped it on the floor. And I remember that some of them even took their boots and they lay down. And it was so sad just to see that. And David Lim tells me, the police officer, Willie, do you know this floor? I say, yeah. I say, where can we get water? He said, well, there's a machine, a vending machine on the other side. So let's go. He breaks the machine. We start taking the water, putting them in trash cans, and we distribute them to the firemen. I get the opportunity, because there was power in there, to pick up a phone and call my mother. I wanted to call my mother in Puerto Rico to let her know that I was okay in case she heard something. Little did I know was that everybody knew what was happening but us. She picks up the phone and said, what are you doing? Get out of there. I said, Mom, I'm okay. Nothing has happened to me. There's an accident here. And I'm helping the fire department. He said, that's not your job. Get out. I say, Ma, I have the key. These people don't know what they're doing. They don't know the building. Because there was total disorientation. Everybody was knew what was going on. Chain of command over there didn't work. So I said, don't worry, I call you later. I'm not going to make it to the fire. I'm just going to take them to a certain point, and I'm coming down. But I can only give them the key. So, hang up the phone. On the radio, I have my supervisor, Rodriguez, William Rodriguez, abandon the building right now. I continue. Since they stayed there, I continued going floor by floor, opening, letting people out, until I stopped on the 33rd floor. Why the 33rd floor? Because on the 33rd floor, I had a closet with all the supplies. Every 16th floor, I had a little cubicle to put stuff for the stairwells. And there I have like the paper mask that I use for the cleaning. So I wanted to give those paper masks to the people coming down the stairwell. Now, mind you, the people that is coming down, some of them are cut in their face because they're sitting in front of the offices with a window. Some of them are joking because they're nervous. But that hysterical thing that everybody talks about, that never happened. I guess everybody was in shock because nobody expected this. And we didn't know what was going on. So I continue going up and get to the 33rd floor. I find a lady trembling on the floor on a fetal position. She had no shoes. I said, "What are you doing there?" And she said, "I don't know where to go." I stood her up, put her on the stairwell. There were a couple of people coming down. I remember people from the cafeteria of the 44th floor. And I say, "Take her out." And at that moment, on the corridor, I hear something very strange. On the 34th floor, I hear stuff being moved around. And heavy stuff. You know, like those metal dumpsters scratching the floor? Really heavy stuff. Now, why was it strange? Because the 34th floor was a floor that was got out by the construction crew of the World Trade Center, and it was closed. In other words, elevators did not stop there. There was no walls. There's nothing there. And for those people that, you know, maybe are not in construction, that's what a building does. When a tenant moves out, they got it out, and they make the money redesigning the place to the specification of the new tenant. So to hear this is the first time that I felt fear on that day. So, of course, I knew somebody was there. So I bypassed that floor and continued to the upper floors. People screaming. People, to this day, I guess the biggest pain and nightmare that I will have is just to hear the screams of people still stuck in the elevator, claiming for help.
And again, you were just listening to janitor Willie Rodriguez discussing his experiences on 9/11 in the World Trade Center complex. In 2006, speaking at the Health and Freedom Conference put on by the Freedom Law School. Tune in next week to hear the second and final part of that speech. The 9/11 Truth Movement is alive and well, thanks to people like Willie Rodriguez, courageous people, and all the researchers who have done all of the research and gathered mountains of evidence disproving the official accounts of 9/11 over the last 17 years. And there will be lots of events going on around the country. There's several things going on in New York City on 9/11. We will be holding a vigil here in West Hartford on 9/11 at 5:30 in the center of West Hartford. For more information on all of these, you can go to the website 911tap.org. 911tap, that's T-A-P, 911tap.org. And just click on events there and you'll see what's going on. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Power to the people.